Sportscast World Cup coverage on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. Sportscast World Cup coverage. Analyze and preview all the games of the World Cup here on the Sportscast. Sportscast World Cup coverage. And here's your host, Santiago Leon.
And welcome to the Sportscast World Cup coverage, December 5th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch.tv, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast directory, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio 24/7. You can listen to us all day long. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net and also follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1 and check us out in our app, The Sportscast for iOS. This is your host, Santiago Leon. We're going solo today. Asa was not able to come this morning due to he is on an assignment. This past Saturday, the U.S. men's national team lost against Netherlands 3-1. Hal Phillips was on the show on Saturday, and we were discussing and we were reacting. And now it's been a few days since, and my thoughts, a lot of chatter about what's next for the U.S. We are already qualified for the next World Cup in 2026. But the big discussion, a couple of topics is, should Greg Berhalter return as coach and coach the U.S. all the way to 2026? And also the competition with the U.S. team. Should we be playing Copa America? Should we host Copa America so we're able to get our A team? Because if we don't host the Copa America, then we'll be invited as a guest. And European clubs or clubs in the MLS or elsewhere don't have to release players to play for the U.S. So that is a situation there. Overall, let's start with what happened on Saturday in the round of 16. USA losing against the Netherlands 3-1. It's been a few days since that match. Louis van Gaal was quoted to be, you know, he actually was saying about, hey, what's the whole situation with the U.S. and exposing them in the back line. Anyways, joining us, Asa, welcome back to the Sportscast.
How you doing?
Good, man. It's been a few days. We're live, actually. Your thoughts over the U.S. lost against Holland 3-1.
So first things first, I want to apologize to our viewers for my delay. A USB port on my computer has broken. If you listen to my to the latest podcast, that was the issue yesterday. It's the issue today. Hopefully, going to get that figured out. But my thoughts on sort of the game itself are connected sort of to my thoughts about the run, which is, we got beaten by a better team. And, you know, like there was sort of a surprising moment, I think, early on in this game where it became clear that Netherlands didn't want to play, right? Like they wanted to sit back and absorb pressure and counter. And I think the way that one of the guys on the podcast put it was, they were a billionaire's Canada, right? Like sitting back, countering when they could, and otherwise just like sort of being unbothered. Because the way that you beat America is make them break you down. So this was interesting for two reasons. One, I thought that the Netherlands was just going to come out, play their game, whatever. But they didn't. And that's such a sign of respect, right? Like, if you look at, like, American soccer history, nobody changes their tactics to beat us, right? Like, they just beat us, or we beat ourselves, or whatever. But Netherlands looked at our team and said, we don't really want to try to out-soccer you. We're just going to out-tactics you. Which I think is really interesting. And the second thing is that when you are not the best team in the world, your depth takes a hit, right? We were not able to rotate our fullbacks and our six. And in that game, there were three goals that we gave up, and each of them were because one of the players who we could not afford to sub out throughout the group stage, shut down, right? Mentally shut down for a second. Tyler Adams on the first goal, Serginho Dest on the second goal, Jedi Robinson on the third goal. Depth was gonna hit us because we don't have any. But I'm very impressed with what we did here. It was ultimately as far as I'm concerned, a successful run. Netherlands is a good team. They have really good players. I think that sometimes people forget that, like, when you play a game, it's not just about you, it's about who you're playing. And Netherlands were good. They had a good coach. They had a good plan. They executed that plan. And even with all of that, who knows if Christian puts away that first chance and in like the third minute, who knows? So, I'm pretty pleased ultimately with this team. I wouldn't have started Ferreira, but outside of that, I don't know that there's much that you could have done differently.
Asa, you sound very positive with the team. I think I agree with you as well. I think we had a great performance in this World Cup. I think coming from 4 years behind, not qualifying, I think this is a step up. We could have said, hey, we just, didn't get out of the group. Hey, that's fine. But I think reaching the round of 16 was great. And I think this group was tough, to be honest. We could have done better, but I think reaching this far with a young squad with no World Cup experience, I'm pretty much content. To be honest.
And contentedness is probably the right thing to say, because it's like, prior to missing the last World Cup, the sort of the standard American outcome at the World Cup has been to get out of the group, finish second in the group, go play the team that finished first in some other group and lose. So if you're going to sort of measure us against 2014, right? Look at the game between America and Netherlands, and then go back and watch that 2014 USA versus Belgium game. And the reason why I'm saying that is in 2014, we played Belgium and they humiliated us. We lost 2-1. Like, it was a closer game on paper. But if you go watch that game, it's like watching the Los Angeles Lakers versus a high school team, right? Like, it's not even close. Whereas in this game, you watch this game and you're like, yeah, Netherlands are better, but like, they're both playing the same game, right? Like if Netherlands sort of didn't play a perfect game, we would have scored more goals, right? I'm not saying they did play a perfect game, but we could have played a perfect game against Belgium and still wouldn't have won. Not ever, right? So I think that there's clear progress. I think when you talk about the age of this team, I think that the way to look at this, because a lot of listeners and a lot of people who are sort of paying attention are not happy with Greg Berhalter, and that's fine. You don't have to be. I'm not here to tell you how to feel. But if you look at him instead of as a senior national coach, and instead you look at him as a youth coach who shepherded this group of 24-year-olds, the core of this team is all under the age of 24, except for Jedi Robinson, who's 25. But the core of this team is very young. And if you look at Greg Berhalter as a youth coach who has come out here and gotten the vibes absolutely correct and kept the team together and ultimately got back to where American soccer was before he took over, I think that you can say that he was a good shepherd. Do I want him to continue in the job? No. Do I think that he did an exceptional job? No. But he did his job. He absolutely took care of business in both the World Cup and the regional tournament. So, you know, if this is the end of the Berhalter era, I think that it's an unmitigated success. If he sticks around, then I think we get into the question of what are the goals of this team going into 2026, and can those goals be achieved with Berhalter at the helm? And I'm not sure. But for right now, I think that you can say that Greg Berhalter's tenure was an absolute success.
Yeah, I do have mixed feelings about Greg Berhalter returning or not. I think a lot of the conversation this past weekend of having a coach with more than one cycle, usually it's unsuccessful. The percentage rate is pretty high for unsuccessfulness. Which leads us to the next segment is, what should the U.S. do to prepare for World Cup 2026? Obviously, part of that is the coaching. But what do you think we should do the next 4 years to make sure, hey, at least we can go deeper in our home soil?
So I think what it comes down to is you have to make a determination about what is the goal, right? Because if the goal is to continue sort of on this project, let's say Greg Berhalter sticks around, right, then okay, we're rolling with this project. It's probably going to be these players, and so you just sort of go forward in that fashion. You know, we have a regional tournament in 2023, the Gold Cup, which is important for us to win, just for sort of, I don't know, vibes perspectives again. But what I would do is that there are some very obvious. There's some very obvious holes in this roster, and you need to start patching over them. And you need to start saying, okay, we need to start developing depth at certain positions. We have a wealth of attackers. If any of our attackers got hurt, which maybe Gio did, maybe he didn't, it's not a huge problem, right? Like, we have the guys. We don't have a center forward. We don't have backup central midfielders. We don't have a backup six. We don't have backup fullbacks. And we have to replace our most important center back from this time. So really it's about building depth. It's about bringing guys in and seeing if they can do the job and seeing if they can be part of that 2026 team. So I would start, you know, what I would do today, sort of the first Monday after being out, is I would be reaching out to players who are going to be part of that cycle and saying, hey, let's go. Let's get ready. Let's start having those conversations. You know, Ricardo Pepi is going to be 23 in 2026, or 22, whatever he is. You know, he needs to be part of this conversation. You know, your youth players like Quinn Sullivan or Paxton Aronson or Cade Cowell or Caden Clark, these guys who have been with you in your youth setups, get them on the phone, you know, start bringing them in more often. You know, a lot of our prospects at the central midfield and defensive midfield, they need to be brought in, right? Because Tyler Adams went 360 minutes. Jedi Robinson went 360 minutes. So really for me, the players who I'm calling, Jonathan Gomez, who has not declared whether he's going to play for America or Mexico, is a really talented young left back. He's someone who should get a call. You know, beyond that, you got to filter through the older players and find the younger players, because Walker Zimmerman, I think, will be 33 in 2026. Not to say that he can't do it at 33, but it's a risk, right? Tim Ream is 35. He's not going to be part of the setup. You know, there's a whole bunch of other players who I think you can pretty confidently say will not be here. Aaron Long probably won't be here. Christian Roldan, Jordan Morris. These are sort of older players who have dealt with injuries and or, you know, difficulties, you know, but finding out if Cameron Carter-Vickers and Eric Palmer-Brown is your central back pairing of the future, great. Good to know. We need to figure that out. You know, but there are a lot of players who I think did not contribute in this cycle who will absolutely need to contribute in the next cycle.
You mentioned striker Asa. You know, we had Haji playing this World Cup. Josh Sargent. You also mentioned Ricardo Pepi. with this pool of strikers, the ones that were selected or not selected, do you think we got that striker lined up or we haven't found him yet?
I think we found him. He's just not, I haven't mentioned him because he's not officially declared as an American yet. Florin Balogun is a player who's currently playing in France, but he's a employed by Arsenal. He is a striker. He's pounding in goals in France. The reason why he's not part of the setup yet is he can also represent England. And I think also maybe maybe Nigeria. I'm not sure about that. Ghana, maybe. I don't know. There's a third country, but he has not decided who he's going to play for. If he decides to play for America, and there was a lot of smoke about that last summer, that he was close to committing. If he decides to play for America, he's the guy. If he's not the guy, then I think that, you know, Josh Sargent will be 26 or 27, whatever, in 4 years. Ricardo Pepi will be 23. I don't think Haji Wright's the guy. I did not think that he had a good tournament. I don't think that he's ever played well for America. That's not, you know, American senior. He's played well for the youth teams. But I think that it's not really about the striker in the Berhalter setup because we've filtered through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 strikers, 7 maybe, and none of them have looked good. So if 2 players don't look good, that's the player's fault. If everybody doesn't look good, that's the coach's fault. And maybe Berhalter designed a system to minimize the central forward because he knew that he didn't have it up there. But I thought that when Josh Sargent played, he played really well. He was far and away the best one. So, you know, for the goals that we have as an American soccer community, which is, I think, you know, ultimately to win a World Cup, is Josh Sargent good enough to do that? No, absolutely not. But is he good enough to get us to a quarterfinal, a semifinal, maybe? Yeah, absolutely. Especially in 4 years. So, I would really take care to keep this core together. You know, the Pulisic, Aaronson Weah, MMA midfield, Jedi Robinson, Serginho Dest, Cameron Carter-Vickers. I'm sure I'm missing, you know, somebody. Reyna. That group needs to sort of stay together and be in as many camps as possible to make sure that they are sort of comfortable. Beyond that, you know, I want to see a whole bunch of players. You know, is Jack McGlynn a guy? You know, he's a player. He's a 20-year-old who plays in Philly, you know, as a central midfielder. Is he a guy who can do it on the international stage? I don't know. I would love to know the answer to that question. And I think that we should take great pains to find out, right? Can Cade Cowell do it against international competition? These are things we need to know. And that's really what I would be sort of the way that I would move forward is just to find out how many guys in our pool, how many American-born players or American citizens can play? Because if we find out that we don't have it, then we need to change a lot of what we're doing schematically. But if we do, then great, cool. We just need better players. And everybody here will be better in 4 years than they are now, hopefully.
Yeah, great points, Asa. You mentioned about the coach situation, you prefer Berhalter to go out. If he did, can you name some names that you would like to list as candidates?
Sure. So I want to be clear that I'm not like a Berhalter out hashtag whatever. Like I really liked what he did in this World Cup, in the lead up to World Cup. And also keep in mind, right now America owns every possible regional title that it has. Every time he entered a tournament, he did what he was supposed to do. He went out, he won the World Gold Cup, he won the Nations League, and he got us to the round of 16 in the World Cup. It's what you're supposed to do as an American manager. He absolutely passes. But I think he could have won the World Cup and I would have wanted a new manager because I believe that you get one cycle. In terms of guys out there, I mean, Zinedine Zidane doesn't have a job right now, so we go out and try to get him.
He's linked to France, yeah. Though.
He's after. Going to coach France. He's absolutely going to coach France. I'm just sort of, you know, saying why not? But, you know, but in terms of who I would really like. A guy who's probably worth mentioning is Pellegrino Matarazzo. He was the manager at Stuttgart for a while. He's from New Jersey. He'd be a good option. But I think right now it's very important to me. It doesn't matter who it is, right? Because, you know, for example, Tata Martino was absolutely who I wanted to be the coach last time. And he just oversaw Mexico's worst World Cup in 60 years. So you never know. But I think that there's a number of coaches who could do the job. But for me right now, at this moment, if we're making the decision today, Pellegrino Matarazzo is probably my hope. Mauricio Pochettino, who used to be the coach at both Spurs and PSG, I don't believe he has a job at the moment. He plays the type of soccer that I think American fans would love. And I think that with this group, he would have a blast. He's sort of an all offense, no defense, whatever. So I think that he might like stylistically fit us. But I think a coach who can take what Berhalter has input, which is a really solid defense and a really good vibes, and sort of take us to the next level in the attack, is the type of guy who you want. So keeping Greg Berhalter around as sort of a defensive consultant, I think, would be a great idea. He's built a defense that was really effective. But I think if you want me to put down a name right now, it's Matarazzo. If I can get anybody in the world, it's probably Pochettino.
You name all foreign coaches. Would you name any American coaches?
So Matarazzo is from New Jersey. He's American. Oh, okay.
That's right.
He just has a very, very Italian name. No. Pellegrino Matarazzo is absolutely from like Bayonne, New Jersey. I do want to say there's been a debate. As long as there's been American soccer, there's been a debate about whether it matters that the players are fundamentally American, right? And this was a big debate back under the Klinsmann administration, because he had, not only was he not American, he was German, but he brought in a lot of German-born Americans. Guys who didn't necessarily speak English all that well. There was a big debate, and it gets into a lot of questions of like nationhood and who we are as Americans and blah, 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 blah. Long way of saying, no, I don't care that the person is an American to be the coach, because I don't think that there is a reason to. I think that the only reason to have an American coach is if that is part and parcel of, okay, we need to play in a specific style of American soccer. And if we're going to do that, fine. I'm cool with that. I'm good with that. Let's go play Red Bull ball, which is what American soccer probably like defaults to, which is fast and strong and aggressive. And you saw the failings of it against Netherlands because they didn't even allow us to do it. But if we're going to sort of go all in on that style, right? Like the high press, go crazy, you know, and then we just hope that we get technically better. I think that Jesse Marsh is probably the guy then. But he has a job right now. So wishing him, you know, despair so that we can have a better national team coach is not something I'm gonna do right now.
Yeah, that's one name that I was looking at, Jesse Marsh. But of course, like you were saying, he's not available. But if he was, I would consider him. I also thought LVG, Louis Van Gaal, possibly. I know he's a little bit older, but I think he'd be good. But those names you mentioned, they're excellent choices.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, you know, I'm of the belief that the manager can't really do all that much. I think a lot of people, especially in this day and age, probably forever, they think that the manager is much more powerful than they are. I think that ultimately it comes down to, you know, a lot of sports comes down to, can you beat the guy in front of you? And yeah, like we can change tactics and whatever, but it's not like, here's a good example. We didn't lose to Netherlands because of tactics. We lost to Netherlands because they have better soccer players. And that's fine, right? Like, could we have overcome that with great tactics? Yeah, but you look at American sports, right? How many coaches really matter? How many coaches really matter? I can name like five, right? It's like Popovich matters. Belichick matters. Saban matters. beyond that, I don't know.
I cannot say Steve Kerr either.
It's not Steve Kerr. No. Steve Kerr's assistant matters, but like, you know, Ron Adams matters, but like for reasons that aren't necessarily prescient. Darvin Ham apparently matters because since he's come in, the Lakers, you know, Russell Westbrook is coming off the bench and Anthony Davis playing five and they look great. But what I'm saying is that I think we both understand the point, which is over the course, you know, across four major American sports, we can name about four-ish coaches who matter. You know, college basketball is probably the only place where coaches really matter. And even then, I mean, Tom Izzo, a Hall of Fame coach, lost to Northwestern last night. So it doesn't matter that much. So I think, like, ultimately the question of who our manager is, it's important. You know, you got to have someone who's good and who knows what they're doing. But, you know, I don't think that we are going to get one of the three soccer managers worldwide who matter. Two of them are currently very well paid in Liverpool and Manchester. So they're probably not coming. And then beyond that, like, do I think that we are going to get, you know, a I don't know, Julian Nagelsmann or Hansi Flick? No, I don't. So then you get into the question of like, okay, does it matter? And I don't really think it does.
Whoever coaches has a young, good squad ahead of them. So we'll see what happens, what USSF decides to do with the coaching position. All right, we're almost out of time. Let's go into predictions. Currently, Japan is tied with Croatia 1-1. Who will take this, Asa?
So I really would love to be able to say Japan, because I root for chaos as often as possible. But I think Croatia is ultimately a better team. And when it comes down to it, I default to who is the best player on the field and are they going to be able to impose their will. And Luka Modric is very good. So
he's still good.
Still good.
Brazil versus Korea. Rumors have it Neymar will be playing in this game in some capacity.
Yeah, it's Brazil. Very good. By a lot.
This one, I think, could be an upset. Morocco versus Spain. What's your thoughts on this?
I think that Spain is going to be tough to upset because their midfield is so strong and their defense is sort of effective. I don't think Morocco is very good. I think that they have a couple of very good players, but like I don't see them as a very good team. So I think Spain's going to go through, you know, like I said, fairly easily. It's the next game on that day that I think that there's going to be an upset.
Which is Portugal versus Switzerland.
I think Switzerland is going to win that game. I think Switzerland's better than people think. And I don't know what the betting line is, but I would take I would smash the Switzerland in regular time. Not that I give gambling advice, but if one were to do that, that would be the play.
Yeah, no surprise. Switzerland has shocked countries before. They beat France in the Euros last year, beat France in the quarterfinals. So this could be a potential upset as well. Asa, what is the best way to reach you online and also about your podcast?
Yeah, so on Twitter, at TLSTDDS, at TLSTDS. Our podcast is on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. Touchlines and Touchdowns. We had I messed up with the uploading, so I think we had like 7 different episodes upload yesterday. It's actually 2, but you know, we're doing stuff. Always happy to chat. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate it.
And also your thoughts over the college football playoffs, 4 teams that were selected before we leave.
I think that we should go back to the BCS because there are only 2 teams that matter in this playoff.
I agree. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. We'll be back on Wednesday with Jaime and see if his Spain team has gone through. But anyways, that's it for the World Cup coverage on a Monday. Asa, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you for having me. I apologize for the late arrival.
Hey, better now than ever. I'll see you. Bye.